Hey John.
Hey Nick, it's October month, and it's our third one, and I've never been more excited, and I think I'm going to use the word grateful. I don't throw it around regularly, but I'm feeling that right now. I wouldn't want to spend it with anyone other than you.
What? Sorry, I was sleep talking.
This is strangers still.
Welcome to Stranger Still. I'm Nick Wood.
Don't do that again. And I'm John Began.
John, what are we doing this podcast?
I don't know. You do the research.
I was hoping that you would, like, if we got any new listeners or someone's like, hey, check out this podcast, and they didn't say what it was, you could try to explain what it is to them for me.
Oh, like, what would I say?
Something like this, the podcast where we answer the questions you never thought to ask.
Okay.
We were like the opposite of John Tesh, which I heard this weekend. Sorry, I wasn't gonna bring this up, but I have to. I was driving my mom's car and she had it tuned to
Wait,
the
hold on,
station
hold
he's
on, hold
on.
on, hold on, hold
Yeah.
on. This is a podcast where we answer the strange questions that you never thought to ask, and we're the opposite of John Tesh, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but I have to. So I was driving my mom's car. Am I doing it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's our whole tagline. So I turn on the car and John Tesh is on there, and I'd only caught the tail end of what he was saying, and he was saying something like, researchers say that the longer you don't wash your bed sheets, the more germs will grow on there. And I was like, ah, duh, you imbecile. And then he's like, researchers say that you should change out your sheets every couple of weeks, and if you can't change them out that often, take a shower before you go to bed. That'll reduce the amount of germs that grow on your sheets.
Wow, dude.
Duh, you idiot! Who's laying in their bed and they haven't changed their sheets for 6 months and they feel clean?
Anyway, we're gonna have John Tesh on for
That'd be the
definite.
ultimate get. Don't listen, John Tesh.
I'm gonna email him for
Okay,
real.
do it. As you all are certainly aware by my,
Can you explain that he's just a local radio personality that
no,
just
he's national.
he is?
Yeah, he's like he was, I think, a musician.
All right. If you're
He has
under
several
82,
albums.
he's on this thing called the radio and he says stuff.
FM radio even. So my rambling intro has probably clued you into the fact that it is October month, which I said wrong. How do you say it, John?
October month.
That's how you say it, which means this month we're doing a bunch of
Spooky
spooky
scaries.
scaries. And today it's we're talking about sleep paralysis.
Which could be very scary,
It can be
Nicholas.
very
You're kind
scary.
of selling it down. Don't bum me
Well,
out.
it's something that your body does normally, and it's a side effect of sleep, but it leads to some terrifying experiences. So as I go through it, it's not going to be spooky. So I'm gonna dovetail this episode. At the end, we're gonna come back around. I'm gonna share some of the spooky experiences
So you don't
people have
think that your
had.
body is capable of doing things that are spooky, scary on its own? You need some kind of like serial killer or monster or something?
Well, this is just like the most sterile look at sleep paralysis for most of the episode, and then we'll finally
You ever
talk
get a, like
about
a weird hair that you can't explain?
Sometimes.
Right,
Like
I'm just
sometimes my
saying.
eyebrow hairs grow really long.
I'm just
It's only happened like once, but it was really scary.
submitting evidence. Same, yeah.
So, sleep paralysis. It was suggested by Matt, one of our listeners, via email.
Swing.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to say his
He
full
said
name.
it's cool.
Oh, there you go. Matt Suing, and he said that he's experienced sleep paralysis, and we've talked about it in previous episodes.
Swing and a hit, actually.
Come on. You got to be more timely with those jokes.
Well.
I've already moved on. So I wanted to do sleep paralysis for a really long time because there's a lot of spooky stuff that comes from it. And then
Hope he
Matt
doesn't
emailed
sue us
us.
for using his full name.
I'm sure he's never heard that before. as someone with the name
it
wasn't Nicholas
more, it was
Wood,
more about upsetting you than getting the nail in the joke.
Well, now we lost one listener, and their name is Matt Suing, so there thanks for that. So this his email and the fact that I've wanted to do this for a really long time was enough to say, yep, that's the one we're kicking off October month with.
Yeah, which I'd like an explanation for, because we do have a Democratic poll in our Facebook group, uh-huh. and it seems like you've got the Electoral College on your side, Nicholas.
Yeah, I think I was the only person that voted for it.
Yeah.
But I don't care. It's the one I want to do.
Okay, well, we'll just vote you out.
Well, see you in November. So, John, do you know what sleep paralysis is?
Sleep paralysis is when your body's like...
I didn't ask you to explain it. I just wondered if you knew what it was.
Yeah, Nick.
Can you explain it to our listeners?
Sleep paralysis is when your body's like, you shouldn't eat so much and walk around because you're going to step on something.
Huh?
So I'm going to make you not move at
oh,
night.
Oh, okay, yes. Now I know where you're going.
That's it.
That's not it. I mean, that's a part of it. We'll go more in depth in just a second, but simply put, sleep paralysis is a sleep disorder where in the middle of the night or in the middle of your sleep, like if you're just napping, you wake up and you can't move and you're fully awake, fully aware of what's going on. You can see, you can hear, you can feel, you can smell, but you just can't, no matter how hard you try, you can't move any part of your body. And that can certainly be concerning in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrifying sensation. To make things worse, sometimes it's accompanied by hallucinations,
both yep.
visual and auditory hallucinations mostly. I'm sure you can have like
sensory, smell.
Smellular. Hallucinations was the word I was
looking for. Maybe a spooky sixth sense hallucination.
You can see dead people. Well, maybe.
You can sense them.
the most curious thing about the hallucinations is that it can be anything. Sometimes it's just like a feeling that you have can be part of the hallucination. You might have this overwhelming sense of panic. You might feel like something is sitting on your chest and it's really hard to breathe, even though they've done studies on it and there's nothing wrong with your breathing. It just feels that way. Or
like a succubus?
Yeah. A succubus is sitting on your chest.
Yeah, I figured that would come up later.
It will. But there's also sometimes a common theme to some of the hallucinations that we'll get into. It's usually the terrifying aspect of sleep paralysis comes from these hallucinations and being frightened from not being able to move. But apparently some sleep paralysis sufferers have learned to accept and enjoy their sleep paralysis.
Mm, no, that sounds like a lie.
Well, they might have relations with their hallucinations.
Okay.
I
red flag jumped up to me. So.
So you might hear or feel a buzzing sound. That's a really common feeling that people have. Like you just feel a buzzing through your body, or you hear like a low like radio buzz or static. Mm-hmm. You might also feel this weird pressure on your chest. One more common thing is shadow people that people see.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the first visual hallucination that most people get is in the form of shadow people. And sometimes those like morph into other humanoid figures or like elves, or a lot of people will see like Slenderman type figures.
Yeah, I think it's scary enough just having shadow people. Like, I was at work and someone wasn't doing a good job, so... my boss told me to watch out for the shadow people, and someone was following me all day to learn how to do their job better.
Oh. Stop. I don't like that one. So we'll cover this more at the end of the episode, but if you want to hear more about some of the weird hallucinations people have had, you can go watch the documentary The Nightmare. I believe it's still on Netflix, and it's like...
It's 2018 right now, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this later.
Yeah. Well, it's been on there for a couple of years. I watched it like a year and a half ago. But it's a documentary, but it's terrifying because they take these horrifying sleep paralysis experiences and hallucinations that people have had and reenact them with like monster movie makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really well done, really gnarly. And yeah, I don't know why I said gnarly. So it is a sleep disorder.
It's sick, bro, dude.
Sick, bro, dude. I never say gnarly. I don't know why I said that. So it's a sleep disorder up there with like sleep apnea or insomnia. It's more closely related to disorder like night terrors, or sleepwalking, or surprisingly narcolepsy, which is where you just like fall asleep randomly.
That's horrible.
Seemingly randomly.
That's so scary.
Yeah. So apparently people with narcolepsy are more prone to sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make more sense when we get into the mechanics of sleep paralysis. But I will also say, if you keep having sleep paralysis, that doesn't mean that you have narcolepsy. You might still have narcolepsy, but it's not like, I don't know, other illnesses where if you have a bunch of headaches, then you might have blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. There's a bunch of other sleep disorders that can cause sleep paralysis, but narcolepsy sufferers see sleep paralysis the most. So, John, what do you think causes sleep paralysis? I'm putting the onus on you. What if I told you it was demons and witches that sneak into your bedroom at night and sit on your chest and try to kill you?
On my trust?
On your trust and try to kill you.
Yeah. I don't think that's what it is, Nick. But.
Well, it's not. If you go back through history, sleep paralysis is not a new thing. People have always had it, and I certainly think that people suffer from it more now just because of reasons that we'll get into.
So hold on a sec.
Yes.
Don't we all get sleep paralysis every night? But the version you're speaking of is when you're conscious during it?
Yes. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But this, I want to go through the history of sleep paralysis real fast just to say what some people used to believe it was.
Okay.
So back in the day, one of the beliefs was that it was demons. They would come and sit on your chest while you were sleeping, and it just so happened that you woke up when they were there sitting on your chest. A lot of this information I got from a good article on CBS, which is like the first time they've ever shown up on our show. But in Newfoundland, they thought that it was the old hag that would come and sit on your chest at night and try to suffocate you in your sleep. In some islands in the Caribbean, or Caribbean if you want, they thought that the sleep paralysis was ghosts of unbaptized children that came to choke you in your sleep. They also had a quote from a paper written in 2003 that suggested sleep paralysis might be one of the big catalysts for what happened in the Salem witch trials.
Yeah,
because like we talked about that, I think, 2 years ago. And I love this bit of information because we can tie it back to what we learned there. There's a bunch of mass hysteria going on back then.
Yeah.
And people might have been poisoned by like
bread.
It was rye bread or something that went bad, and they all started going crazy.
So the rye bread, believing other people, and then you're thinking demons are sitting on your chest.
Yeah. So there was this guy named Bernard Peach that said, and this is a quote from the 2003 article, said he heard a scrambling at the window, whereat he then saw Susanna Martin come in and jump down upon the floor. It's hard to read this old speech for some reason. He's got like a different syntax. She took hold of his deponent feet, and drawing his body up in a heap, she lay upon him near 2 hours, in all which time he could neither speak nor stir.
It almost rhymed.
I know, right?
I wish that you would say that he wept, because it would have sounded great.
Well, he couldn't.
A little alliteration goes a little long way.
That's a good sentence. So eventually, luckily, we invented this thing called science, and that's when we started to figure out where sleep paralysis was coming from and what was causing it.
So brain stuff.
Brain stuff. Yep. All right, let's move on to the next thing. No, so the explanation is actually pretty simple. There's a couple fun words that come up a lot, and those two words are hypnagogic or hypnagogic.
Mm-hmm.
Or hypnagogic. I've heard it said many ways. And hypnopompic. I've never heard that said any other way. And that's because sleep paralysis occurs either during hypnagogic, I don't know how I want to pronounce it, that's what I'm going to go with that, or hypnopompic states of sleep. And hypnagogic is a fancy way of saying it's the moment immediately before falling asleep. And you can remember that because you are going to sleep. Hypno-going to sleep.
Rolls off the edge of the middle of the side of your tongue.
And then hypnopompic is the opposite. That's the moment immediately after you wake up. And you can remember that because it's the opposite of hypnagogic.
Wow.
So I'm really simple. Good at mnemonic devices, aren't I?
Yeah, I've seen you work a calculator.
This one says boobs.
Wow, dude.
This one says hello.
Look at you.
So hypnagogic and hypnopompic hallucinations are a thing on their own, but it's not quite sleep paralysis, because I think I've had either hypnagogic or hypnopompic hallucinations before. Like, it happens when I am thirsty and I can't quite fall back asleep. I start, like, the first time it ever happened, I saw Mario jumping around my room.
Okay. What?
Yeah, but I could still, like, turn my head and roll over, so I wasn't paralyzed.
Was he holding a glass of water and drinking, like,
no, he's just, like, jumping around the room. And
you,
like,
wish you had this, Nick.
No, so in my sleep-deprived brain, I thought he was the reason I couldn't fall back asleep.
Yeah.
Because he was just making a bunch of noise, making a ruckus. In reality, I was just thirsty.
Right. Was he wearing his hydro backpack?
His flood? No, I don't believe so. Sleep paralysis happens when you're going or coming out of sleep, and specifically REM sleep, rapid eye movement, or the band.
Mm.
No, not a fan?
What are they?
They did It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Oh, well.
They did That's Me in the Spotlight.
Okay.
They did a bunch of other ones. So normally when you're in REM sleep, your body goes into this thing called REM atonia. That's what you were talking about before, when your body naturally paralyzes itself.
Mm, because it sounds like a bad, like, summer concert series with starring REM
atonia. I thought you were going to say, like, a JRPG. REM atonia.
Yeah, that too.
Or at least a city in one, right? So the reason that your body naturally goes into this state is because if it didn't, you'd start acting out your dreams. You'd start sleepwalking or sleep talking or punching your partner or, I don't know, rolling off the bed. So when you are going into or coming out of REM sleep, sleep paralysis occurs when this atonia stays in place and something misfires and your brain just, like, turns on. It's conscious now, and that part of your brain wakes up. Not a fun experience. And I've said that people before with narcolepsy might be more likely to suffer from sleep paralysis. Well, how many people do you think suffer from sleep paralysis?
If that's such a weird thing, because with all of the studies we've ever covered, mm-hmm. no one's ever asked me.
Yeah.
Like, asked you how I feel about stuff.
Oh.
And I may have experienced some of these things. So, I don't know. I'm going to guess...
I'm looking for a percent, not like an exact number.
Point. Am I close?
No. It's way more common than less than
10%.
10%? Maybe. So
great. Thanks for the solid numbers.
Nobody can ever agree on this. And it might be all of these figures were how many people have experienced sleep paralysis at least once in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And WebMD said 25 to 50% of people.
Okay, so let's do a study right now.
Yeah. Have you had sleep paralysis?
Yeah.
You have?
Have you?
No.
50%. It's true.
Are you making it up?
It's confirmed. No, I did twice. Once when I was a little kid.
Oh, God, I got to hear this. We'll save it for after the break, though.
Okay.
Because I was going to ask you later on, but...
I know you were.
Actually, it was right at the end of this bullet list.
Okay, let's pretend. Let's make it organic. Forget it.
So, okay, let's try it. Just
No. Just, yeah, get surprised.
So WebMD says 25 to 50%. Health.com says 40%. The Sleep Doctor.com says 65%. And the Medical News is... MedicalNewsToday.com was the outlier. They said 7.6%, but maybe much more.
Wow.
Why even give a percent?
Real solid.
Yeah. So, hey, have you ever had sleep paralysis?
No.
Come, what? Have you? You just told me earlier you did.
I don't know what you're talking about. You said you'd edit that out.
Were you asleep?
No, yeah, I did have it once and twice. So, two times. Once when I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
My cousin Phil slept over.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Phil.
And I...
We know he's listening now because you've summoned him with his name.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Beetlejuice.
And I woke up, like, I was trying to chase the ice cream
Abraham
man in my
Lincoln.
Dream. And I heard the ice cream music, the ice cream man music.
I'm just trying to summon people to listen to our podcast.
Do you know Abraham Lincoln might have been black, according to Kanye? His name's Ye now. So anyway, I heard the ice cream music.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
And I couldn't move. And then I heard him yelling, John, John. John, and I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, whoop, I could move again.
Yeah.
And the second time was when I was a little bit older. I won this, like, little plastic garbage flute from
was
Sports
it a garbage
Plus.
Flute or a garbage flute, like a bad flute?
You know what, dude? Which one's more interesting? Which one's going to make or break the show?
In the shape of a garbage can.
It was a pretty crappy plastic flute.
It was like a recorder?
No, it was like a pan flute.
So
you blow into it and it was like, whoosh, it basically sounded like straws in a row.
Right.
And I would blow in it and I was like, this is dumb. And I put it in my drawer and went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I said draw because I was a New Yorker and that's how we say that.
To draw.
And then I woke up and could not move, just paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the pan flute playing over and over, just.
God, I hate that.
And I just felt like really scared.
Yeah.
And I just thought of aliens for some reason. And then it was fine.
Yeah. A lot of people have the sense of aliens.
I don't know how to explain that. I mean, I was a little kid, so. I mean, I was a teenager.
But. Yeah. That's kind of the prime years for sleep paralysis. Anyone can get sleep paralysis. Some researchers think that there might be a genetic component to it that would make you more likely to have sleep paralysis than others. And they think that that might be because there's some part of people's DNA that messes up their circadian rhythm. And
oh, can I just add to my story real quick? I didn't believe in aliens. I imagined them.
Yeah.
I didn't see them either. I just like thought about them after. Yeah. I was like, maybe.
Yeah. We'll get back to aliens. Most people that are, if you're going to like chronically suffer from sleep paralysis or have a sleep paralysis experience, it's usually going to happen in your teens through your 30s. The prime age seems to be between 10 and 25, but you can also like, it doesn't have to be chronic. They can happen once or twice like they happened to you, or once and never happen again.
Yeah.
There's several things that make you more likely to suffer from it randomly if you don't normally suffer from it. Of course, the normal stuff like sleep issues.
Probably lack of sleep.
Well, lack of sleep, stress, anxiety, depression can cause it. If you eat or consume like
hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Yeah. But if you eat something before bed or
bucket of acid,
that's going to take you on a wild trip. But if you eat something or drink alcohol before you go to bed, it will keep your metabolism going as you're sleeping, and that can trigger sleep paralysis. Apparently, inconsistent nappers can get sleep paralysis more often than others because it messes up your circadian rhythm. But people who nap at the same time each day regularly aren't more likely to have sleep paralysis. And I also remember in The Nightmare, they talk about how like learning about sleep paralysis can trigger sleep paralysis in you.
Yeah.
Which makes it feel like the It Follows monster. Like
don't listen to this, is what he's saying.
Well, I didn't come across that in any of my research. Maybe it's true. I don't know. They say the same thing about lucid dreaming. Like
that's also the theory behind hysteria and all that anyway, right?
It's the same theory behind Slenderman. The more you learn about him and research him, then he comes in.
I'm just over him, man.
Yeah. So how can you treat sleep paralysis? I know you're wondering.
Drugs.
No. No. What?
Probably.
Illicit or pharmaceutical?
You DM me after the show.
So first of all, if you're suffering from any other sleep disorders and then you're getting sleep paralysis, treat those first. So if you have like sleep apnea, treat that first and maybe it'll go away. If you're under a lot of stress or you're suffering from anxiety or depression, treat those as well, just while you're at it. Take care of those. Take care of yourself. The best thing you can do is, of course, get plenty of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The boring answer. Most REM cycles last like 90 minutes to 2 hours. So if you aren't getting enough sleep.
About 12 tracks.
12 tracks that are 10 minutes long?
Cool. Just really added to that joke.
Okay, then I'm lost. So if you aren't getting enough sleep, you might interrupt one of your REM cycles, and then you might trigger sleep paralysis. And apparently sleeping on your side or stomach can help reduce risk of sleep paralysis.
What?
They said that this is like where I get into John Tesh territory.
Yeah, so the difference between sleeping on your side or your stomach is just gravity and how it pulls different organs, right?
Yes, but it can interrupt your breathing patterns, which might accidentally wake you up in the middle of a REM cycle.
Okay.
Which I think that's where this is coming from.
So where your mouth hole is located and gravity.
Yeah.
Or you humans can sleep are on weird. Your
stomach. Humans are stupid. How did we evolve this way?
Yeah.
And lastly, if you're getting sleep paralysis consistently, go see a medical professional because there might be something else interrupting your sleep.
Mm-hmm. Like a succubus.
Like a succubus. A demon coming and sitting on your chest.
Yeah.
So that is sleep paralysis. Do you have anything else to add?
I've got a whole paragraph from Matt.
Well, I think we should save it for after our break. Well, we asked Matt to help us out because he's experienced this. And then I found a couple other scary sleep paralysis stories that we might have time to go through.
Cool.
So see you right after this spooky transition. Ooh, was that scary?
Did I write a spooky transition?
I don't think so. I haven't transitioned yet.
Oh, you usually just put like a quote.
Yeah. Well, not last year because the website I used to get the movie quotes from like shut down. I couldn't find it anymore.
YouTube exists though. Come on. You'll
it's
find
a
something.
Lot of work.
I'll find you something.
All right, thanks.
Pick a movie.
All right, now we're going to play that. And here it is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, kid, but I haven't even started with this creep. And I don't want you watching the rest. It'll give you nightmares.
Strangers out there listening, you can, if you are so inclined, review us on iTunes. That's where I'm starting this week.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
We have one new 5-star review with no comments.
Okay.
If you want to leave us comments, we'll read it on the air. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, and if you don't
censor it,
that means we have to make something up. Nick, what do you think they meant?
They were like, dude, every time Nick says he doesn't have a closed mind, I believe him.
That's right. Said. That's probably what they thought out loud in their brains.
Yeah.
Like an echo chamber.
Dude, what about if people enjoy us so much,
mm-hmm.
they want to kick a few bucks our way?
Wow.
How can they do that?
I mean, I would probably prefer that they did it with real money instead of on the ground with their feet.
Jerks.
And I would hope that they would go to StrangerSoulsShow.com/shop
yep.
or Patreon.com/flying machine.
That will take you to our network Patreon's page. What's that? Our network flying machine. That's, you already said what it was.
Well, yeah, flyingmachine.network.
So you can go to Patreon, become a patron, and pick your favorite shows that you listen to. Hopefully it's us. And then we get
that's right.
Bigger portion of
start talking smack.
Yeah.
Let's start
I'm coming after you, divisive issues.
What this network's been missing is infighting.
That's true. I'm going to pick a fight with Helen. That seems like the right person.
Yeah. Talk about her show.
Someone pointed out, I think it was Jacob on our page. I can't remember, but he was saying way back in the day, I read the review that she left for our podcast, and I didn't know how to pronounce her name, Herbst.
Yeah.
And he thought it was funny that we've come so far. First, I didn't know how to pronounce her name, and now we're brothers.
Yep.
So, interact with us, and it's October month, so we'll do spooky things, maybe?
You didn't even plug her podcast. That is some true brotherhood.
Hell's podcast is Falling in Love Montage.
Thank
you. Should go listen to it. Unfortunately, I don't know what movies that they are covering this month, but hopefully they're spooky.
Now, how often do they cover a movie?
Every other week.
Okay.
Every other Monday.
And of the episodes that they've done, how close to 100% is it a movie-based podcast?
100%.
Okay.
Actually, no. That's not true. It's like 98%.
No, nope, you said it. You're under
a
oath.
TV show once.
It's too late.
Someone posted on there, I think it was like Hocus Pocus. They're like, is Hocus Pocus a chick flick? And if it is, can you cover it on your podcast? I was like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. So we have listener comments. What do we want to call it?
His email was so eloquently titled "Questions, Comments, and Concerns."
Yeah.
So I would call it all of the above.
Yeah.
Although we're only going to read the comments part.
Yeah. So I had a couple. I wanted to go over a couple like sleep paralysis stories, and I found a few like on metro.co.uk and BuzzFeed, but they're all really stupid in comparison to what we got from Matt suing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's suffered, it sounds like, persistently suffered from sleep paralysis,
and he was also a skeptic like us.
Yeah,
so and it's more interesting because he knows the science of what's happening, and it's still terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. And you read a little bit to me, and I was already way more entertained than I was by stupid BuzzFeed. So I want to hear his whole message to us on sleep paralysis.
All right, cool. Here goes. And might I add, Matt, you're a super good writer.
Yeah.
Super good is you probably already know that term is meant to be a synonym for grateful. As a good writer, you could recognize that it's a very descriptive term.
Where are you
term.
Going with this?
I'm just trying to impress him. Preface. My intention when writing is to be succinct. You know that word?
Yeah.
It's succinct, Nick, you dummy. Get eloquent.
Oh, God. You almost killed me.
But my tendency to produce something long-winded. Feel free to use any of this in any form, shortened or otherwise. I will not at all be offended by the cuts you make.
To be clear, I was just trying to impress Matt, too.
So. Okay, no, I get you. I will at all be offended by the cuts you make to fit this information to a listener-friendly format. This is something I have long wanted to type out for myself, so I'm glad to have a reason to finally do so and someone to share it with.
If you ever, listeners, if you ever just want to type something out to us, feel free. We're here for you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll read it on the air.
Message us, email us, strangerstillshow.com.
Even if it's entirely private. I'm just kidding,
what is it? Podcast at strangerstillshow.com.
Yes.
Personal background with sleep. I have had a handful of ailments relating to sleep throughout my life, ranging from run-of-the-mill insomnia to some auditory hallucinations, which began in high school. I have had bouts where night terrors are frequent, intense, but very brief. These problems did not seem to be brought on by any life event or change, and they primarily occur on my way down into sleep. Hypnagogic.
Hypnagogic.
Hip, cheerio. Around late high school, I experienced my first episode of sleep paralysis. Since then, I've experienced
was
sleep
it the
paralysis.
Pilot episode?
Since then, I've experienced sleep paralysis relatively infrequently, only around 1 to 2 times per year, and with varying levels of intensity and immersion. I have no belief in the supernatural. Some of the dream sequences are painted with paranormal imagery, and I do not often fear or respect my dreams or anything besides semi-random, unresolved thoughts playing out without structure. Get it, dude. I feel that. He didn't say that, but that's how I agree.
That's editorial.
How it feels. Sleep paralysis is very potent cross-section of perceiving one's surroundings and losing control of your thoughts to a dream. When I experience it, I have very minimal motor control, usually restricted to only slight control of breathing, facial expressions, and very restrained movement in the hands and feet. This is always accompanied with a sense of immediate danger and fear, often with nightmarish imagery, and sometimes even tactile hallucination. Depending on the positioning of
my face. That's something I didn't even mention in the episode. I didn't even think of that.
Mm-hmm.
But people feel like the witch is touching them and stuff.
Oh, yuck. Depending on the positioning of my face, I can sometimes perfectly perceive the room around me, and the details become part of the vision. The immersion is not like that of a typical dream, because your sense of logic has no chance to interfere when things feel unnatural, and realizing that things are amiss does not save you by lifting the illusion. In short, you see something happening right in front of you that fills you with fear, your body is frozen, and in that moment, nothing could feel more real than what is terrifying you. Experiences. My first experience with sleep paralysis came after a camping trip and was particularly potent. It was a family trip and I was asleep in the back seat of the family van. The car had stopped at my cousin's house to let him out, the sliding doors left open, and I was only ever so slightly awoken, enough to meet the magical ratio of awareness and immobilization. There were still a couple of people out in the car, and a few had gotten out. Those still in the car with me seemed totally unbothered by the goblin with the gray skin that appeared to drip from his face. As he came toward me through the sliding door, I felt his hot breath wet against my face. He never attacked me, he only menacingly loomed inches from me. I tried to plead aloud to question what I was seeing or for someone to come chase this gargoyle-esque creature, but all I could do was sit there and try to understand why I could not so much struggle. This felt like it went on for about 45 seconds before I fully broke from it, when I stopped feeling a cool breeze, and the van door was shut forcefully and loudly.
So, like, woke him finally up.
Yeah. I was still very frightened. I said yeah, he didn't say yeah right there. That was me.
Yeah.
It's called editorial.
It's not like an episode of Doctor Who where he's responding to me in his letter he wrote in the past. Yeah,
right.
I got it.
Sure. Yeah. I didn't say it that time either. I was still very frightened when I woke up and would not know that I had experienced sleep paralysis until years later. Another noteworthy episode happened when I was living at my parents'. sharing my room with a girlfriend who had fallen on hard times because she had found herself without a place to stay.
Oh.
Allie and I had to share a twin bed, which was neither comfortable or familiar.
Oh, God, that'd be awful.
One night, I found myself paralyzed as I heard someone turning the doorknob to enter my room. Allie had already fallen asleep. Likely, had the rest of the household. Though I couldn't move, I tried repeatedly to push out what was intended to be Allie, but nothing more than a single syllable in the form of a whimper. Though my head was turned, rendering me unable to see them, the shadowy figures began to enter the room, and I was sure of it, there were at least two, maybe three. I tried dozens of times to call out, only mustering the same weak outward gasp. I pleaded repeatedly in this way, as the shadowy men moved through the room and eventually grabbed me. I believed a knife was being pushed into my back.
Oh my God.
When my voice slipped into crying. Allie finally woke up to this and was able to snap me out of this horrible experience, causing reality to rush back in, forcing the mysterious figures out. A similar experience to that one listed above happened that I will briefly mention. It was years later with a different girl in a different room, but with another episode of Shadowy Intruders. The only difference was that this girl was a heavier sleeper. My calls did not wake her up. The nightmarish incident seemed to go on much, much longer. I was only awoken when my fear led to such a tightness in my chest that I became unable to breathe and began gasping for air, finally breaking free and ending the event. One entry into my history of sleep paralysis episodes is distinctly different. It was when I was college-aged and single after a long-term relationship. I was newly sleeping in a room at my parents' house that was formerly my brother's. As I approached sleep, I slipped into another hallucinatory episode where I could not move.
That's my favorite kind of pajamas.
What I saw in my room was an unfamiliar girl about my age standing very still. Strangely still. He didn't say that. I'm just trying to mark it.
Dang it. I thought if you did say it, I would have been really impressed.
It's on brand. I did say that. He didn't write that.
I know. Yeah. Just keep going.
She was attractive, blonde, facing away from me, and completely naked. Though those details did not make for a typical threatening situation, I was very much afraid of her.
It's like the witch from Left 4 Dead.
Or the movie The Witch. They're all naked too.
No.
But they're not attractive. Or they'd try their best to make
the witch
them.
Isn't attractive either, but
I was very much afraid of her. This was largely because I did not know how she got there or what her intentions were. She never turned around, but she did eventually move.
Don't turn around,
Though not
sleep
much.
Sleep paralysis is in town.
Taking a couple short steps.
Hang on, pause real fast, because I'm ruining the dramatic read of this, but I just realized this is what the podcast would be like if you did the research.
Yeah.
And I was the John.
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah.
Keep going.
It doesn't feel good.
Is that why you never respond to my jokes?
Wow. No, I'm still going to do it, though.
Keep going.
She never turned around, but she did eventually move, though not much, taking a couple of short steps away from me and rolling her head around slightly. I do not remember waking suddenly from this, rather drifting off... drifting off more before coming to. There are a handful of other episodes that may not have felt as detailed or long. Often they involve shadowy intruders.
Must not have been sweeps week.
Sometimes they involve animals like wolves entering the room, keep on attacking me. A few have featured large bug-like creatures coming into and across my bed.
Oh, God. That's like...
And that's the ending.
I didn't mean to make light of your experiences. I just had to play the part of John.
No, I'm glad you did. Yeah.
I'm not laughing at you, Matt. Thank you for sharing that. That sufficiently makes me never want to have sleep paralysis. And if I have it tonight, I am blaming you.
Yeah, so remember, just say no to sleep paralysis.
Yeah. Man, I think that'll do it for this week. Don't you think?
I think so.
So next week we'll do a spooky topic of something. I could look it up because I have it written down, but I'm really lazy. I'm gonna do it anyway.
What am I supposed to fill this air or something?
I mean, if you want to.
How you like guys doing?
Yeah, I think that's always funny when someone's like fill the air, and then the person just talks to the audience.
Yeah, what is that? That's garbage.
You could just be like,
I know you can't answer me, and there's nothing more frustrating than a one-sided conversation in the real world anyway.
was it me that I don't remember who shared it? I think I shared it. It's like the closest you'll ever get to feeling like a ghost is when you're listening to a podcast and someone's trying to remember a piece of trivia and,
yeah, and
you know the answer.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to go over the history of trick-or-treating and the pagan history of Halloween.
Okay. So actually, I think that what you said, even though it was intended to be a joke, will be a very spooky experience for our listeners. So why don't we try to make them feel like a ghost right now to get into the Halloween October month spirit, Nicholas?
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, what was that movie with, what's his name? There's the old man, he's a scientist, and then he's got the little friend, and they drive the car around.
What?
He drives the car, and he goes, you know, through different levels of,
is this a real movie?
Of time.
Oh, I'm and, with you.
Yeah. You are? Oh, what was it?
It wasn't. No, because that's a TV show. I was thinking Quantum Leap.
No, yeah, no, this is a movie. This is a whole movie.
A whole movie. Crap, what was that one?
I think there's more than one.
It's not Doctor Who.
No. Because
that's also a TV show.
Yeah. No, this one, I don't know if he's a doctor. He's more of like a, you know, I mean, maybe he is, but I don't think they use that full name. And he made a car.
Like, they don't use the full name. They just call him like Doc or something.
Yeah, right. Something, that's, it rings a bell.
Rick and Morty. Got it.
That was it. I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.